Let me invite you to turn once again to Exodus 20. It's been our text for the last few weeks. I, like Jason has mentioned, have never really preached through the Ten Commandments as a series of messages. I've interacted with these different commandments at different points in doing studies through the Scriptures, but never actually taken them in the context of them being given as Ten Commands. And it's been very enlightening for me, very helpful. I've appreciated very much Jason's skillfully walking us through these first four commands. I'm going to begin reading in verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness to your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Our Father, we are grateful to be in your presence today. We do not count it a light thing to be able to come and worship you. We rejoice with exceedingly great joy that you have provided redemption for us, that you have called us unto yourself, and we have experienced the matchless riches of your grace in our lives. I pray, Father, that as we have lifted up our voices to sing, as our ears have listened to the Scriptures being read, and now, Lord, as we come to that portion of the service where your word is given forth, I pray that you will give us ears to hear, give us hearts to embrace, give us wills to live forth the truths that we will hear this morning. Father, we come to the Scriptures knowing that it is you that gives us light into the Word. Lord, we would ask you, as the psalmist of old, that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your law. So, Lord God, we depend upon you. We recognize that. And so, God, we appeal to you. And we appeal to you for your honor, for your glory, Lord, for the encouragement and help, for the instruction of your people, and Father, for those who maybe are here today without Christ. Oh God, how we plead with you to give them life, to open their eyes, that they would know the freedom that only comes through Christ. Lord, that they would know eternal life. Oh God, we pray for the gospel as it goes forward in this truth today would land on soil that would bring forth fruit for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Key. Thank you for the worship team. Double duty. They've been here for a long time. They ministered in our first service at 9 o'clock and stay through to help minister in our second service. So we deeply appreciate their commitment and willingness to help out in that way. I look forward to sharing the truth of God's Word with you today. It is a privilege, and I recognize that. I think the older I get, I recognize the deep privilege it is that God has given me through these years to be able to stand and share His truth with His people and others for His glory. The fifth commandment is kind of a transition in the Ten Commandments, in that it signals the transition from the vertical commands, or those commands that relate directly in our relationship with God, to horizontal commands, or those commands that relate directly with our fellow man. Here today it relates in the structure of authority to the family, to the mother and the father. It will stretch out and reach out to people in general. And Jesus speaks about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, in this way. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So Jesus reduces these 10 words or 10 commandments into two segments. One that deals directly with man's relationship with God. The other six that deals directly with man's relationship with man. And it is that second section now that we are stepping into. I have really enjoyed Jason's preaching over these past weeks as he has dealt with the law. It has been something that has been of help to me personally. Not that I didn't know anything about the Ten Commandments, of course, but it's really helped me to gain a little better perspective and understanding. One of the things that Jason has emphasized that I don't know that I've really thought about in this context is how the law displays the grace of God in so many ways. And we'll see that again this morning with this fifth commandment. It helps us to better understand who God is, not simply His attributes, but also just in how God in His person relates to man and desires that His kingdom take place. We also see that God continues in the new covenant relationship and how the Ten Commandments continue to press into us. Last week was a little bit different with the fourth commandment, but all the rest of them written on our hearts, reiterated again to us as new covenant believers, and certainly we see that clearly with this fifth commandment. The initial command that you shall have no other gods before me kind of lays the foundation, if you will, for all ten commandments. It is that declares that God is God alone. There are no other gods. He Himself is God and God alone. And He demands the worship. He tells us how we should worship Him, how we should engage with Him, and all the various things contained in these four commandments. Just as that first commandment set the tone for the first four and even for the ten, so the fifth commandment sets the tone for the relationship of mankind with mankind. Let's take a moment and look and think through this commandment. Verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." The word honor, of course, is a very important word here because it sets the tone of how we relate. The word honor is a Hebrew word which simply means heavy or weighty. Heavy or weighty. Interestingly, it is a word that is used in the Old Testament for the glory of God or the weightiness of His divine majesty. It is to honor one's parents and give due weight to their position. It is to give them the recognition that they deserve. It is to respect, esteem, value, prize father and mothers as gifts from God. If we can get this into our mind, what honor means, that it carries that sense of respect for other people, it is that foundation stone that carries into the rest of the commandments, as we will see, and how critical it is to respect other people, how critical it is to have the type of respect of an individual, just in the sense that they are made in the image of God. I think we see the weight that is given in this fifth command by the punishment that is meted out when this commandment is not obeyed and is not carried out. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, listen to what he says here. It's very severe. It probably kind of catches us in a way that we would say, boy, that seems like an overkill. But God is wanting to establish a core principle in society: the importance of learning to honor authority, the importance of seeing that carried out in every spectrum of life. It says, if a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so that they shall purge the evil from their midst, and all Israel shall hear and feel and fear. No doubt he's speaking about an individual who is older here, whose life has been set in a pattern of rebellion toward his parents. But yet it is a severe punishment that should signal in our minds when God speaks about it is important, it is a command that he's issued to us, that we would grant honor, that we would show weightiness, that we would recognize with deep respect the position of our mom and our dad. When Paul is speaking about the last days, he speaks about all the chaos that goes on in society. He speaks about the fact of sins that are just so embraced and looked upon as somewhat normal in the society. He comes to this portion of the list. I'll read just this small portion in chapter 3, verse 2 of 2 Timothy. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Some people might look at that list and say, wow, that doesn't seem like it fits there. But it really does when you think about society, how disruptive a home and a society is when there is no sense of authority and the obedience to that. If any of you have ever lived in a home where there is conflict between parents and children, where there is a child that is just disrespectful, a child who will not obey, a child who is willful in every way, you know a home that is full of chaos. Even if your child goes through very temporary times like this, it's a home that's not pleasant to be in. It's a home that's filled with tension. It's a home that has no knowledge of blessing. It's just one of those places and you think, oh my goodness, this is terrible. No matter what is said, it is contested. There's always the giving of a look or a glance, and there's battling many times between moms and dads and trying to know how to do this, and it just throws the whole family into a period of chaos. It is critical that children learn to honor their fathers and their mothers. And let me just say that this isn't something just for children, as we think about children age-wise. But all through life, we are commanded to honor our parents, to care for them. And that tension is often there. The difficulty sometimes in doing that, because there are things that are residual in our heart from relationships when we were kids, to be able to honor them and give them the place that they deserve in our hearts and minds. And so it is difficult. I in no way am claiming that this commandment, even though it's very simple to understand, I am not claiming that it is simple to live out, because it is not. Something else that we need to see here, not only the weight of the command, but also that it is applied to both mom and dad. It isn't given just to the father, that we might think, and sometimes we see evidenced in Scripture, but it's also directed to the mother. There's no room for a child to respect the father but not the mother, or the mother and not the father. The respect must flow to both of them. Both individuals should be given the due position and weight of a mom and a dad. Listen to Solomon in Proverbs chapter 6. He says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." Both parents, and probably in our culture and in cultures really throughout time, the mother has had more influence and more direct contact in the parenting process than a father. Not always, but I think that is very common. So it is important that a dad protect that position for the mom, and a mom protect that position for the father, that there never be competition in this way, that you work together. The commandment is directed to both mom and dad. Another thing that we see here, it is the only commandment accompanied with a promise, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We have to note here that this is not an absolute, a 1 + 1 = 2. All of us know situations of people who had children that were obedient and wonderful children that died very early in life. We also know people who had children who were rebels live into longer years. And so it isn't the sense of just the number of years that we live, but the context of what life is like. It is a principle. A home where parents are respected and children respected, but a home where that takes place is a home that is evident of God's blessing. There's a fullness there. It is an abundant home. Again, if you've lived in a home where there's chaos and tension, you know how sweet and blessed it is when those things are set aside and people are living in harmony with one another. Listen to what Paul says when he takes this fifth commandment and he brings it into the context of the church and the new covenant community. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, when he's dealing with this long phrase or long section of authority, he says, "Honor your father and your mother." He quotes this commandment. He says, "This is the first commandment with promise." And this is how he puts his understanding of this promise: that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. We need to recognize that when we are obedient, when children are obedient, that it leads to a life that is more pleasant and often free from more chaos and difficulty, destruction and trouble. I think this is what he's driving at here. As I mentioned earlier in the message, one of the things that struck me from the very first sermon that Jason preached, the introduction, and then each week he's called attention to this, and it's been a blessing to my soul. And that is how the grace of God is seen in the commandments. We often don't equate the grace of God and the Ten Commandments. And yet, like everything else, because God is a God of grace, everything he does, you see his grace in it. You think about the grace of a simple command such as this. The blessings that God brings to us in saying this to us. How it keeps us from horrendous lifestyles. There's few things that I can imagine that would be worse than living in a home constantly in turmoil, constantly in battle, constantly in tension, where children despise their parents and parents have come to dislike their children. How awful, awful, awful that would be. God is gracious to say to us, honor your father and your mother. Give respect to them, that it may be well with you, that my blessings might rest upon you, that my kindness might be evident in you. It is important for us to understand this. One of the things that I did learn in preparing for this message, I listened to different sermons, of course, and read various commentaries, how people would look at this and think about it. And one thing I found common to every single one was that this commandment goes beyond just the simple setting of the home. It is a commandment that is expanded to every form of authority. Listen to the Heidelberg Catechism as it draws attention to this. Question: what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? Answer: that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother. And then he includes this, he expands it, and all those who are in authority over me, that I submit myself with proper obedience to their good teaching and discipline. I believe he's speaking here primarily of parents, but in all realms where there is authority over us. Listen to this next section. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Again, primarily to parents, but expanded to all authority. Parents aren't perfect. Well, that's no great revelation. But it's important for us to understand that the law is not set up in a sense that if your parents are perfect, you give them due respect. But rather that it is our responsibility to those who are over us that we give them the respect and the honor that God has called us to do. In the Old Testament, the term father was used in a lot of different contexts beyond just a biological father. You recall that there was a great deal of tension between Saul and David. Saul was extremely jealous for what David had accomplished. David had killed his tens of thousands and Saul his thousands, and he recognized that God had anointed David. It was not going to go to his son Jonathan. And so there was just tension and turmoil between Saul and David. And Saul sought to destroy and kill David. You remember the occasion when David snuck into the camp and cut the bottom part of Saul's robe off and then went away and called out from a mountain and said these words, "See my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand." David had known this commandment, and David says, "I will not put my hand against God's anointed. God has set him into power, and it is not my place." If you read the life of David, that will strike you, because David over and again was encouraged by his friends to take the life of Saul. And David would say, "If God wants to do that, then that's fine. But I will not set my hand against God's anointed." But he refers to Saul as his father. We know biologically Jesse was his father, but it was a place of authority like a father would have over a son. Elisha, in his relationship with Elijah, who had trained him, and he waited upon Elijah, and now is going to take the mantle of Elijah. When Elijah is taken away in that chariots of fire, that glorious scene in 2 Kings, Elisha says this right before he's taken. Elisha sought and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Now, Elijah was not Elisha's father, but in the context of their relationship, he was like a father in the sense that he was an authority over him, and he gave him honor and respect. Listen to the New Testament as it speaks about this same topic, not using the term father, but speaking about the importance of respect to authority. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake. It's a very key little phrase in here. For God's glory, for God's name. You be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. He says, honor everyone. Show respect to every person. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor, or that one person in a government setting who is ruler over you. Why? Not only for God's glory, but he says in Romans 13, let every person be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Sometimes we scratch our heads at that when we can't really understand and imagine it. But God, in his sovereignty, appoints men and places them, or individuals, in places of authority. And we are to obey them. We are to give honor to them. We are to respect them for their position. Just like God has called moms and dads in the structure of the home to have authority in the home, and children are called to have respect to them. In the workplace, Ephesians says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Even in the church, in Hebrews 13, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. It is no small thing to disrespect authority. It is no small thing to cause dissension within a body of people, whether it's within your home structure, within the church structure, bringing forth anarchy within the structure of the government, whatever it might be. It is no small thing, because God set this command. We are commanded by God to give respect to those who are over us. Certainly, as we think about Christ, Christ was a kid growing up. We can look a little bit into his life and say, did he follow this? Did he fulfill the law? We know that he did. The scriptures tell us very clearly that he fulfills every aspect of the law. There are very few glimpses into the childhood of Jesus. Most of it takes place in his 3 years of public ministry. The great amount of material written is about, of course, the passion and the death of Christ. But in Luke 2:51, as his family travels down, as the custom 3 times a year for them to go down to Jerusalem, probably at the Passover, and it makes this little comment here. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Excuse me, that's when he came from Egypt. And he came back to, I'm in the wrong context here. And he came back with them. And it says he was submissive to them. In John 19, another beautiful picture of Jesus showing respect for his parents, his mother in this case. No doubt Joseph had already passed away. And on the cross, it says Jesus saw his mother, Mary, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. One of the last things that Jesus did in his earthly life before his crucifixion was to make sure his mother was properly cared for. Something else interesting as you read and study the life of Christ and his teaching. It is a segment where he's talking about being his disciple and what the cost is and the mindset and our priorities. And he makes a statement about family that really runs contrary. When you first read it, it's almost like, did he really just say that? It doesn't make much sense to me. Particularly in a sermon, you're dealing with honor your father and your mother, that Jesus would make such a statement. So let's look at the statement. It's found in Luke 14. Jesus says this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." So is Jesus radically changed here and said you ought to go out and hate your parents and hate your wife and hate your kids? Well, certainly anyone who has any knowledge of the scriptures would say no. There must be something else he's leaning into here. What he's leaning into here is that our ultimate love is given to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one follows suit in that you love your neighbor as yourself. But it is important to us to recognize that God is preeminent. Pastor Jason and I were talking about the sermon. He said, "How's it going?" And you feel like you're ready for it. He's always checking on me, making sure I haven't been sleeping through the week, that sort of thing. And I said, "Yeah." And so he said, "Well, what are you learning? And what are you going to hit on today?" And I said, "One of the things that was interesting to me is how Christ brings the last five commandments under the first four." And he said, "You know, number one trumps number five." And it really does. In every sector of life, in every sector where there is authority over us, when that authority goes contrary to God's authority, or that authority begins, or that person, or that relationship begins to impede upon our love for God, then God always wins. I found as a parent, I find as a husband, God's given me a love just like he has you. He's given me a deep, deep love for my children and my grandchildren. He's given me a very deep love for Becky, and I'm grateful for them. But I must be careful sometimes that I don't set them above God. That in that relationship, that it is evident, important, it is evident to them that my ultimate affection and allegiance is to God and God alone. I think that's where Jesus is leaning into here. And that's an important thing to think about as you set your mind in these Ten Commandments, particularly the first one that lays the foundation for the last six and the first one who lays the foundation really for all ten of them. So that's an important reminder. Kevin DeYoung wrote a book on the Ten Commandments. Pastor Jason has alluded to this in his preaching. He has spoken some things that he's learned from Kevin DeYoung. I'd like to share just some of the simple things. I want to share three practical, helpful reminders as I conclude the message this morning. The first one is from Kevin DeYoung, just simple ways to honor your parents. He says, say, "Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad." Prompt, cheerful obedience. We find that the law is directed to the heart. Again, something that we wouldn't necessarily think about on the surface. We would think of the law as being somewhat external. It's there, we have to obey it, we have to fulfill it. But God always aims at the heart. Next week when we talk about you shall not murder, we will see Jesus elevate that commandment to the very core of who we are and how we relate to people. Way beyond just the sense of pulling the trigger and shooting somebody. It is always aimed at the heart. Children sometimes can be obedient, but obedient only in the outward structure and not from the heart. I read a book many, many years ago that was very helpful to me as a young parent. It talked about passive disobedience. Not in your face, I will not do that type of disobedience, but the passive kind where you just kind of make light of or ignore it or do it with an attitude or a look in your eye or a stomp of disgust or whatever the case would be. Kevin DeYoung says, to honor your parents simply means this: say yes, Mom, yes, Dad, a cheerful, prompt obedience. I know that sounds really easy and really nice. I know it's not that easy in the home. But pray to that end. Work to that end. Secondly, he says, say thank you. Recognize their place in your life with appreciation. Say, I'm sorry. Take responsibility. Show humility. Desire unity in the home. Let me just say that this isn't just for little kids with parents or teenagers with parents. This is for adult children with adult parents. There are many times that children need to say to adult parents, I'm sorry. There are many times that we need to reach out and say, thank you for what you've invested in my life. Thank you for how you have cared for me. Even if they've been imperfect, which they have, which I am. And last of all, he says, say hello. Stay connected. Value relationship. All of these things are simple and yet an excellent way of honoring your father and your mother. Second simple reminder. Parents, help your children live the fifth commandment. Help your children live the fifth commandment. The Ten Commandments are found in two spots in the scriptures as far as the listing. One is that it's an original context in Exodus 20 that we've been reading each week. The second is Deuteronomy chapter 5. Following on the heels of chapter 5 is chapter 6. I bet you didn't know that, did you? Listen to what he says in chapter 6. Chapter 6 is one of the very classic passages of parent-child relationship. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, or Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, moms and dads, and you shall teach them the commands diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. We are to take the word of God and see it fleshed out into the lives of our children in everyday life, every aspect of it, even the fifth commandment. Moms and dads, a part of our responsibility is helping our children live in the environment of Christ, to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I fear sometimes that parents are afraid of their children in the sense of engaging with them and helping them and recognizing kids don't always do this in an easy way. Sometimes there is battle involved in these things. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about anything other than a parent helping a child to see the necessity and the truth of God's word. And we recognize that as much as we would like to reach in and change the heart of a child, you can't. But you know someone who can. That's why I always tell moms and dads, that's why prayer is so critical in parenting children. praying that God will bring about change in a heart. You press truth into them. You live those things. You model a heart that loves God and recognizes God's words on your heart. But help your children live the fifth commandment. Teach them to honor and respect their parents. The last point is this. Remember, the purpose of the law is always to point us to Christ and the gospel. Jason introduced this series with a message. He brought out in that message that the law was never intended to bring us righteousness. We can't keep the law. What the law shows us clearly is our inability to be right with God. There is one who can make us right with God, and that is Christ. It calls us to the gospel, not only to the salvation of our soul, but to the gospel, to the living out of these commands. How do we have peace in our home? How do we have the proper perspectives in our home, in relationships? It is through the gospel. We live in a broken, messy world. Over and again, our heart must be called to the gospel to recognize that we must deal with sin in our lives and help our children deal with sin. We must deal with sin in our own lives as we think about relationships to others who are in authority over us. We plead with Christ. We go to the gospel. We engage with the gospel and the merits of the gospel, that we are dead indeed unto sin. We've been united with Christ in his work. We have victory through Christ. These three simple reminders, we will see them over and over again in these last six commands. It is my prayer today that God will take these words, these familiar words, these simple words, but rest them in our heart that they might bring glory to his holy name. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments that we have heard, many of us, most of our lives. And yet, Lord, if we are not careful, they can elude us in their purpose. And how important they are that we live them. They're not just simply words written on a piece of stone. But now they have been inscribed on our hearts as your children of the new covenant. Oh God, might we live them through the power of the gospel. Might we live them through your grace, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, taking the word and pressing it into our souls. Might we live them for your honor and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.